This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Wong Shaning and Noel Lim. It's 7:36 in the morning, Tuesday the 7th of January. Let's take a look at the Chinese economy, because that's not having the easiest time of it. Despite passing the recent hurdle of having a Phase 1 trade deal agreed upon, it's slated to be signed in Washington next week. China, on the whole, still appears to be facing a structural decline. Now, in the third quarter of last year, it posted its lowest growth rate in about 30 years at only 6%.
The trade war had indeed taken a toll on China, and the State Council is rightfully concerned about small and private businesses as they employ a majority of the workforce. Certainly, you want to keep minds occupied and stomachs full. But there might be some green shoots of recovery. November figures for industrial output and retail sales have ticked up. But China's latest stimulus effort, I think on Monday, to allow banks to lend an additional $115 billion could signal that the government is still on high alert of a slowdown, and so it's pulling out all the stops to ensure that the economy continues to chug along.
So for more insight into this morning we have on the line with us Brock Silvers, Managing Director at Adamas Asset Management. Thank you very much for joining us, Brock. So first of all, Chinese President Xi Jinping welcomed the new year with his annual New Year's speech. Did anything stand out to you in his message?
Well, it was all a bit oblique, actually, but a couple of things did stand out. First, I think the economy, or really more precisely, what wasn't said about the economy. There wasn't a lot of talk about specific targets, specific growth levels, etc. It was really more generalities about how the top priority is to stabilize the economy. Well, this shows us that Beijing is really tacitly admitting that the slowdown isn't over. I'd say 2020 looks like it's going to be a very rough economic year for China, and this speech didn't dissuade me. I'd also note that Xi Jinping didn't propose a specific path forward, so there's still probably some high-level indecision as to how China will proceed. Now, second, Xi signaled what looks like a harder line for Hong Kong. He didn't really assign any blame, but he did make it clear that China wants the protest to stop. He held up the shared goals of prosperity, civility, et cetera, and he also praised Macau, which has been a bit more obedient than Hong Kong, for successfully implementing two systems, one country. This, I think, shows the real disconnect between the protesters in Beijing, and I would say the issue seems to be on quite a negative trajectory right now.
And last week, we saw China take another step towards interest rate liberalization. So what do you make of it?
The interesting thing here for me, at least from my perspective, is that the PBOC is trying hard to lower rates, but without actually lowering rates. Monetary authorities in China have sort of painted themselves into a corner a bit. The economy's markedly slowing, and normally you might respond with lowered rates, but China has a massive debt problem, and for the last several years, the authorities have been trying to reduce that problem. So the PBOC is left trying to essentially target rate cuts so that they reach intended recipients but not unintended ones. And I think this is highly improbable, and eventually it may just come down to authorities choosing the lesser between evils.
China is prompting Chinese banks to relax its lending standards, as well as slashing the bank's required cash reserve ratio, effectively pumping money into the economy. How effective is this going to be in supporting economic growth?
Well, they are going to help, but there are also mitigating factors. You know, number one, it's simply not a huge amount of money, especially given the size of the economy and the depth of the downturn. But number two, bank lending standards have been lowered in an attempt to get more capital to the SME sector. It's not really the large companies that they're trying to feed capital to, but the smaller and medium-sized ones. Chinese banks are notoriously bad at this. And I think over time, we're almost certain to see significantly higher default rates from this new lending.
So, Brock, is this triple R cut also related to the recent defaults of Chinese corporate bonds? And is this something that we should be concerned about?
You know, the recent triple R cut, I think, should help many corporates in the very immediate term as they gain more easy access to capital. But corporate China is massively overleveraged. Beijing can't possibly backstop everyone, And the market is just never going to function well if there's not a legitimate default risk. The problem is that while Beijing wants to fix the system and make it more market-based, it can't just unleash a tsunami of defaults. So the triple R cut doesn't seem to me like a good long-term move, but the economy right now needs some drastic action, and that's what's being prioritized.
Now, in 2019, we saw the yuan testing levels below the psychological levels of 7 against the U.S. dollar. In your view, are we going to see a repeat of this in 2020?
Well, we may, but it completely depends on how the year unfolds. You know, if the already weak economy really continues to soften from here, there's going to be some depreciation pressure. But if U.S. trade talks continue in an amicable way, Beijing probably won't allow more than negligible weakening. If significant weakening were to occur, it would kill any progress in the trade talks. But should the trade talks blow up, then I think we can bet on more meaningful weakening. Overall, I'd say it's possible, but it's really still too early to say.
Finally, what are the major headwinds for the Chinese economy for the rest of the year?
Well, I see four sort of larger risks for China in 2020. Number one, the slowdown. It's ongoing. Beijing hasn't yet given a convincing plan. And I think the needed reforms are just politically unfeasible right now. Number two, the trade war. You know, the phase one details are still hidden. And if this phase one deal just papers over the original U.S. concerns, I can see the trade war returning with a vengeance in 2020. Now, number three is the Hong Kong unrest. And unfortunately, I don't see a quick positive solution on the horizon. It's just a very difficult problem at present, and it's likely to remain so in the coming year. Number four, North Korea. You know, the North Korean situation continues to deteriorate, and if this problem were to worsen, it could dwarf the other three risks, and it could drag down China at exactly the wrong time.
Thank you so much, Brock. And that was Brock Silvers of Adamas Asset Management talking to us about the Chinese economy. And he names a number of potential headwinds there that he sees, the global slowdown, the trade war, Hong Kong, as well as North Korea, which is an interesting point that he's made.
Yeah, he seems not very convinced about how China is approaching this, although China has been using a combination of fiscal and monetary policies to bolster the economy, bearing in mind that companies are already quite highly leveraged, which is a point that he raises. And also, I think some other economists like Nomura, China, Lu Ting is also not so optimistic either. His view is, you know, he supports his view, supports Brock's view. And, you know, Nomura, for example, warns that small enterprises and exporters will continue to face difficulties despite the phase one trade deal with the U.S.
Indeed. And this is indeed going to be something to watch and see, because the phase one trade deal is due to be signed in just 8 days in Washington. And so that's going to be on everyone's radar. But right now we're heading into a few messages. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.